Good morning. Today's Daf and Beis is Lamed Gimel. We're on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, we're starting today at the Mishnah. Second wide line. Continued discussion here in the fourth parak of Beisa in terms of how to treat wood. So, on Yontif, so wood can be handled. And we know that you're allowed to make a fire in Yontif. In fact, you're allowed to cook on Yontif, so you're going to want to make a fire in Yontif. So there's a lot of discussion to be had around wood, and we continue that discussion regarding issues of wood, issues of grilling. So let's begin. Mishnah starts off in Chover Mesacheres. So one is not allowed to break cheres vein chokchen asanir nor cut paper litzlos bosmaliach in order to roast a fish. Okay, so for you grillers out there, so you roast fish on a grill. So to put the fish directly on the metal, so that's not good. You can't do that. Right. I'm speaking now, just explaining the Mishnah and just giving good practical advice in terms of grilling fish. Okay. So the meat you could put directly on the grill. That's great. In fact, people love those grill marks. But when it comes to fish are so delicate, so you can't. So what you do, people do a lot of things, but classically, what's done is that you take a plank of wood, soak it a little bit, and good. And you put the fish on there, and then you roast the fish on the soaked plank of wood. Okay? And that's basically what the Mishnah is describing over here. And the only thing the Mishnah is saying is that everything we describe right now is great, but to prepare that plank of wood, meaning I know the Mishnah is not talking so much about wood, the Mishnah is talking about cheres and niar, but in other words, they're basically all different layers of protection for the fish. And what you can't do is you can't prepare that item. Meaning that those items over there are not directly food related. It's what we would call machshirei ochel nefesh, and our Mishnah takes the position that you're not allowed to prepare machshirei ochel nefesh on yontif. So that's the first psak of the Mishnah. And then gorfin tanu v'kirayin, you can't sweep an oven. Okay, what ends up happening?
Slicha, can you forgive me? Where are you up to?
We're doing the Mishnah on lamed beis amud beis.
Thank you.
Okay, and you can't sweep an oven. Typically, what happens is that you roast the oven, and there's a whole bunch of schmutz on the bottom of the oven. I say oven, by the way, it's really a grill. But back in the day, so their grills kind of looked like an oven, right? It was a simple box edifice where the coals were placed on the bottom, and whatever you were roasting is placed over. Sometimes they would put things in the box itself, in this grill itself. But anyway. So, but it required sweeping. And the Mishnah says, Ein gorfin tanu v'kirayin. So you can't sweep it out on Yontif. Again, sweeping it out on Yontif would be an act of machshirin. Aval mechav shin. But here's what you can do, and that is that you can flatten out the bottom of the oven. As Rashi explains over here, what you really want to do is that if any coals or lining falls into the oven, so you want it to stay as low as possible to the ground. If there are any protrusions going up, so what could possibly happen is it's going to make contact with the food you're roasting. Rashi over here gives a description of the bread that you bake in the oven. So what they would do is that they would take the bread and would plaster it against the inside lining of the oven. And if anything on the bottom of the oven was protruding and it was high up, so it's going to touch your bread, it's going to burn your bread. So what you can do is you can flatten the oven. Also, what you can't do is that you can't put two barrels side by side in order to put a barrel on top of that. That looks like you're building a building. Also, if let's say there's a pot that needs a little bit of a tilt. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take a piece of wood and put it underneath in order to give it, in order to make it level. You can't do that, says the Mishnah. The Mishnah says similarly with a door. Stay tuned. We're going to explain that better as we get to the Gemara. And ve'ein manigin es abeim abamalka b'yomtiv. One cannot direct an animal using a stick on yomtiv. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon matir. And that is open for debate. And Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says it's okay. And the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what they're arguing about. So a Mishnah chock full of information. And so let's get underway. The Gemara is going to take us step by step through the Mishnah. So in the first ruling of the Mishnah, so one is not allowed to prepare the cheres or wooden plank or in order to roast the fish on top of it. Why not? So my time, Mishum Dekamisake Mana. So the Gemara gives a really simple explanation, that is Tikka Mana. Meaning what you're doing is you're fashioning, you're putting together a utensil on Yantiv, again, Machshir Yochel Nefesh, which is not allowed. Ain gorfin tanner v'kirayim. You're not allowed to sweep the oven. Tini Rabbi Chia bar Rav Yosef kamei Rav Nachman. The im e efshal la'afos elim kein gorfo muta. So the Gemara over here extends the heter. And that is that let's say the oven becomes inoperable. There is so much schmutz on the bottom of the oven, right? Again, oven over here, oven grill, right? It's one item. So there's so much schmutz on the bottom of it that you just simply can't. And the only way you can go about it is sweeping it. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, you are allowed to. Now, you are allowed to. Why? So Rashi over here says, because we pass like Rav Yehuda. So I walk away from these Gemaras and Beitza with a lot of ambiguity in terms of whether or not we pass like Rav Yehuda. We don't pass like Rav Yehuda. It sounds like a number of occasions that we don't pass like Rav Yehuda. I will show you a Rashi later this morning. Rashi's position is very clear that we do pass like Rav Yehuda. And even when we do pass like Rav Yehuda, there's always a lot of reservation in doing so. So over here, like you get that. You get that feeling of the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sweep the oven. Again, that would be because we don't pass like Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara says, but if sure, but if it ain't, but look, the oven just simply becomes inoperable, so then you're allowed to do it. Now, I'll remind all of us, myself included, that Rav Yehuda, who allows Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, is only when it is e-efshar, la sosa me'erev yantav. And so presumably over here, and this would be Rashi's understanding, is that because it was impossible to have done anything to the oven prior to yantav, meaning the oven became this way on yantav itself, so then you can rely on the shita of Rav Yehuda. Divasad Rav Yechia nafalei aricha betanura b'yamatava. Gemara tells a story. The wife of Rabbi Chia, while she was operating her oven grill, so what happened is that a good chunk of brick just fell, collapsed, right into the center. So Amalei Rabbi Chia chazed anarifta malya sabina. So she turns to her husband, and her husband said to her, I want good bread, which, let's decode. What her husband is saying is, make sure to fix the oven. Meaning you're allowed to sweep the oven in order to ensure that which you bake in the oven is going to be good. So sweep the oven. Amalei Rava L'shamei Tavali Bar Ivza V'izdar Mecharucha. Similarly, Rava says to his attendant, he says, look, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to roast for me a goose, and I also want to I'd like you to make sure that it's not burnt. And again, let's translate. What that means is that it's on Yontiv, the oven required sweeping, and he told the Shamish, and I'm telling you, go ahead and sweep the oven. I know the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, but in this case over here, if you don't sweep the oven, it's going to get burnt. You have all that debris that's hovering above and making contact with that which you're roasting. It's going to burn it. So go ahead and sweep the oven. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Amalei Rav Acha Mehutzal Demar Sharkin Le Tanura Biyamatava. So he says that another heter that was issued is that they were allowed to put clay around the edge of the oven. Rashi over here gives a lengthy description of basically what they wanted to do is they wanted to seal in the heat in the oven. So what we have with our grills is that we have what's called a cover. Right? You pick it up, you put it down. Okay, good. Seals in the heat. So back in the day, so what they would do is that they would basically put some sort of clay around the opening in order to seal in the heat. He allowed this to be done on Yontiv. So Amarle Anan Arkasa Deprasim Chinan. And what he couldn't understand, explains Rashi, is wait one second. You're allowed to make the clay. So making the clay is lush. That's kneading. And although you're allowed to knead food, right? In other words, that part's okay. But this is not food that we're describing over here. This is basically kneading clay for the oven. And again, you can't do that on Yontiv, right? So Amarle Anan Arkasa Deprasim Chinan. So the Gemara says, oh, you misunderstood. We didn't make the clay in Yontiv. We took the clay. Where did we take it from? Right on the banks of the Euphrates River. So the mud over there is more like clay-like mud. And so therefore, that's what we did. Now, the Gemara pointed out that, yes, it's true that you are allowed to take that clay, but you have to prepare it from before Yontiv. In other words, you have to make it muchan. So how do you make it muchan? So you mark off the area in which you want to use. I'm Ravina Vikit Mashari. And finally, the Gemara issues one more ruling on this. And that is that instead of using mud, you use ashes. So ashes is not bar gibel. It's not something that really holds together. And so therefore, if you take ashes and water, mix it together, and you use that as your sealant for your oven, that's okay, because it's not really going to hold together. That's not really an act of lush. Okay, so a lot of discussion in the Gemara since the Mishnah in terms of oven care on Yontiv, that which you can and cannot do with your ovens. Ein makifin shtei chavios. Now we're going to be talking about making a building. Binyan anyanta vizasar. It's a topic that we've been covering numerous times over the last number of days of the Masechta. And so even stacking barrels is going to be problematic. Amar Rav Nachman avanim shel beis akisei mutal etzadim biyamtav. Okay, so let's say you go out to the outhouse on Yantif. Okay, so thankfully we have this thing called indoor plumbing. But back in the day where they did not have indoor plumbing, so they went to the outhouse. And so what would they do in terms of a seat? So they would just position two stones, obviously with a hole in the center, and you would sit on the two stones. So that was the makeshift toilet. Okay, gives us a small appreciation for the luxuries that we have in our modern world. But anyway, but you're allowed to do this on Yantif, despite the fact that it's kind of like a tent in which you're constructing. So Eitzvei Rabba L'Rav Nachman Mekifin Shtei Chavios Usfos Aleihem Esa Kedera. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, let's compare that with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you're going to build a pyramid of barrels, you're not allowed to do that. Meaning two barrels on the bottom with a space in between, a barrel on top of that, even though all you're doing is stacking barrels, but you're not allowed to do that because that's fashioning an OL. Now, of course it's not an OL Keva, of course it's an OL Rai, but still on Yontiv, the rabbis prohibit that activity. What's the difference between that and what we just described in our makeshift bathroom? So I'm Malay Shani Hasam Mishum Dekavid Oala. So he says, well, actually it's really different one from the other. In the case of stacking barrels, so you're going to be putting a barrel on top of it. Over here in our makeshift bathroom, so you're not putting anything on top of it. So I'm Ralei Rabba Azuta La Ravashi Alameata Bana Itzaba Yamtav Delo Avid Oala. So Hachanami Deshare. So he says, okay, well let's say you just simply build a migdal, right? A tower. So a tower that is just simply a block edifice that goes up. So you mean to tell me that that's not considered binyan because it doesn't have a hollow point in the center? So I'm like Hasan binyan kev asr Torah binyan arai lo asr Torah. So his response is as follows: You gotta look at everything in this proper context. Meaning the Torah prohibits binyan. Anything which is a permanent structure is prohibited by the Torah. Anything which is not a permanent structure is not prohibited by the Torah, right? The difference between Keva versus Arai, this we all know. Now, when it comes to Lo Asur Torah, V'gazru Rabbanan al Binyan Arai, Mishum Binyan Keva. So, and what the rabbis were concerned about is that if I'm building something, even if it's not Keva, even though it's Arai, so, but if it looks enough like a building, so the rabbis went ahead and prohibited it. V'hacha Mishum Kvodo Lo Gazru Bei Rabbanan. But when it comes to building our royal throne, the makeshift bathroom, so over there, so yeah, it could start to look like a building. In other words, I'm making the walls. There is no top to it, but still, you're making the walls, and you know it could be construed as a binyan arai. But now we're talking about kavod abrios, meaning we're talking about the ability for a person to relieve himself in yontif. So that's kavod abrios, right? This is going to be back in their day. The most sanitary way to do so. It'll be the best way where the person himself will not get soiled. So you talk about kavod abrios, so kavod abrios is going to be docha, it's going to override. It won't override isuri daraisa. See the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Yates for almost a full daf where it discusses kavod abrios and isuri Torah. Okay, good. But we're not talking about isuri Torah right now, we're talking about isuri derabanan. So kavod abrios is going to override isuri derabanan. So, yes, of course. And so over here, it may be binyan arai, but it doesn't matter. If we're talking about kavod abrios, it's going to override that. I'm Rav Yehuda. Okay, we're continuing. We're lamed beis, lamed beis. We're at the very last line. So hay medurta melamal lamata share melamata lamala asur. So if I'm making a medurta, Rashi basically describes it as a bonfire. Okay, so you make those big bonfires. So what you're going to do now is that you're going to first, put together your wood. And the wood is going to basically look like a building. Okay. In other words, go back to your days in the Boy Scout or go back to your Lag BaOmer. The last Lag BaOmer unfortunately was tragic. But think of the bonfire. And what you're going to see is that basically it's going to be wood going up and then wood on top of that. It basically looks like a structure. So now obviously, once again, it's not binyan kev, it's binyan arai. So it's not asur min haTorah, it may be asur min derabanan. So what the Gemara now is going to teach us is that actually what the rabbis allowed is that as long as I'm putting it together in an unusual manner, So then under limited circumstances, it would be fine. So let's say, for example, let's start with the Madurta. Let's start with a bonfire. So on Yontav, you could put it together. Again, it's Binyan Arai, it's not Binyan Keva. And if you put it together, Bederech Shinui. Now, what does Bederech Shinui mean? So the Gemara says, you start from the top and you work your way down. Meaning, Binyan usually is that you start from the bottom and you build your way up. So if you start on the top, and Rashi over here describes that basically what you're going to do is that you're going to suspend the roof. Hold it over. Suspend it in air. You know, obviously by somebody holding it. And then what you're going to do is you're going to put the walls underneath it. So now you're building it in the reverse order. And because it's Binyan Arai, so therefore it's going to be mutter. And the Gemara says, and that's not just true with a bonfire. V'chein, as we are now on the top, Lama Gim Lama Aleph, V'chein Biyat, V'chein Keder, V'chein Purya, V'chein Chavisa. Any kind of makeshift structure, like eggs and like pots and like bed and like barrels. So in any of these circumstances where it's Binyan Arai, not Binyan Keva, so if I reverse engineer and reverse order and go from the top and work my way down, under those circumstances, it would be mutter. Ein samchanes akedera bebikas v'chein bedalas. Okay. What you can't do is the following. You cannot take a chip of wood in order to level your pot. Okay, your pot is tilted. It's off to a slant. And you don't want it. So what you want to do now is you want to take a chip of wood and you want to put it underneath in order so that it's nice and level. So the Mishnah tells us you can't do that. Now, why can't you do that? So Rashi in the Mishnah, which I didn't cite when we read the Mishnah, but I'll mention it now. So Rashi back in the Mishnah says the problem is that wood cannot be moved on Yontav except for fire. Okay. In other words, and it's a common theme that we're going to be seeing numerous times today, that the only way that you can move wood on Yontav is only for the purposes of making a fire and not for other purposes as well. Now, I'll ask a simple question. The Rishonim are bothered by this question. Classically, the question and answer is provided by the Rashba on today's daf. I'll say it outside. Why can't I move wood for other purposes? Meaning, once I'm allowed to move wood on Yontav for making a fire, so in other words, you know, we all know the rules of Muksa. Once something is not Muksa, so I can move it for other uses as well, right? The klishim lachzor laheter, a fork, a knife, so those items that I can move for one purpose, for mutter purposes, so I can move for other purposes as well. So then why don't we say the same thing regarding wood? So now, we learned just yesterday's daf, the sheet of Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia says that a kli can only be moved for its main purpose and no other purpose. But that's the sheet of Reb Nechemia. We don't hold like Reb Nechemia. So again, I'm just resetting the question. Why can't I move a chip of wood, which on Yontif if I could use for fire, why can't I use it to just level off the pot? Good. So that's the Rashba's question. The Rashba gives a fundamental answer. He says, because when it comes to kalim, so now once a kli is not muksa, so then I can move it for its primary purpose, and I can move it for other purposes as well. But we're not talking about kalim right now. We're talking about eights. We're talking about wood. So wood to begin with is already working, right? It's already working at a negative, right? You're already in the negative when it comes to wood. In other words, it's not kalim, it's eitz and v'avonim. And so already its status of muksa is elevated, if you will. And so even though on Yontav you can move it for firewood, but that's it. You cannot move it for other purposes. That's the Rashba's answer as it relates to wood. Right. Now, what you can do before Yontav is you could be miached it, right? You could be miached stones as well before Shabbos and Yontav. Correct. Agreed. Okay, the Gemara's point over here is just a really, it's a really specific point, and that is when the Mishnah says, V'chein bedelas, right? I'll just read the heading, right? Second line down. Ain't some chenes akadera bebekas v'chein bedelas. Same thing with the door. And the Gemara says, what does that mean, bedelas, sakadatcha? What are you doing? You're taking a door and you're putting it under the pot to level the pot? So the Gemara says, yeah, you misunderstood the Mishnah. So, ela ema v'chein ha-delas. No, in other words, you're taking your wood chips, and what you want to do is you want to level the pot. You also want to level the door, meaning the door is off teeter, and you want to level it with a wood chip. So that's what you're not allowed to do. That's the correct understanding of the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanein Somchan Esakeder Bebakas V'chein Adals L'Fishlo Nitna Eitzem El Ala Saka. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Okay, good. And over here now, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa basically says what we just said, that to take pieces of wood in order to level off a pot or a door that you're not allowed to do. Rabbi Shimon says it would be mutter. Ein manhigen es habehema b'makel b'yamtav, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Mater. Taking a wood now in order to lead an animal on yantav, you're not allowed to do that. And Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon says you're allowed to do it. Now, leima Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon kavu asverle. Now, the Gemara says, let me offer a really simple explanation of this machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, right? So it's a really straightforward explanation. Again, what do we know? Rabbi Shimon leisle muksa. So he doesn't hold the muksa. Again, not unilaterally, but in other words, he has a really limited scope of muksa. So maybe over here what Rabbi Elazar says is that you could take wood in order to direct the animal, and that's predicated on the fact that Rabbi Elazar holds like his father, who doesn't hold the muksa. That's a really good explanation. It's a simple explanation. The Gemara actually says no. So the Gemara says that nope. The explanation over here is that according to the Tanakhama, the reason why you can't take wood in order to lead an animal is not a muksa issue. It's another gzera derabanan. In that, what it looks like right now is that you're marching the animal in order to go to the market. So we know that Mekah Chumemkar is also on Yantiv. Now, even as we say that, there are transactions that are allowed in Yantiv, right? Back one parak ago in our Masechta, we talked about valid ways of making transactions on food on Yantiv. However, to have basically an open market on Yantiv and Mekah Chumemkar, so that is, for the most part, rabbinically forbidden. And so over here, if we're going to be directing an animal that gives the appearance that we're looking, that we're taking it to the marketplace, so therefore that will be prohibited. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, so he felt that no gzira was made under those circumstances. Chizra. Okay, Chizra, Rashi describes, as a sharp piece of wood, basically can be used as a, it's used as a spit. Right? Rashi, anaf eichu chad kikotz, v'raila tako b'tzli, kemin shpur, v'litzlosbo. Okay, so a stick right now that is really sharp and pointy, and can I use it as a spit? So Rav Nachman asked Rav Shesh Shari, so it's a machlokas amongst the Amorim. Biritiva kule amalo pligid asar, if it's a wet piece of wood, so then everyone would say it's asar. Why? Because a wet piece of wood cannot be used as fuel for the fire, and so therefore it's moksa, and therefore I can't use it for other purposes. So ki pligid biyavishta, we're only talking about dry. Manda asar amar lacha, lo nasna etzim elala asaka. So the one who says that's asur, it's because he's been following our theme of today, which is that wood can only be used for firewood on Yantiv. You can't use wood for any other purpose. Wood cannot be repurposed on Yantiv. That's according to the one who says it's asur. In this case, that would be Rav Nachman. Uman deshari amalcha mali litzlos mali litzlos bigach halaso. And the one who argues would say, well, in principle, I agree, but look, what are we talking about? Either using it, putting it into the fire, or putting it over the fire. It's really similar. So, Iga de Amri, the Gemara has a slightly different version of this discussion. Be Yavishta, if we're talking about dry wood, kolei amalo pligi de shari. Everyone would say that would be permitted. Ki pligi beretifta, the debate is when it's moist. Man da asa de lo chazil asaka, the one who says that it's also because you can't burn it. And you can't use it as fuel, it's moist. And the one who says that it would be okay is that even though I can't use this wood for a small fire, meaning if my fire really hasn't gotten started yet, putting a moist piece of wood in is not good. In fact, it's counterproductive. However, if I already have a raging fire, so you could, at that point in time, you could throw in moist wood. It's fine. Or the fire will dry it out really quickly, and then it'll contribute to the fire. So the Gemara says, okay, so a lot of back and forth right now. Can I take a sharp piece of wood and use it as a spit? On Yantiv? Yavishta shari retifta asar. So the Gemara says, as far as the halach is concerned, so if it's dry, it would be mutter, and if it's moist, it would be asar. Okay. Really interesting Rashi over here. Really interesting. Lama gemal mad aleph, vehilchasa. Rashi is more than halfway down. Right? Before the lines start getting wide, it's about 7-8 lines from there. Vehilchasa. So Rashi points out over here that as far as the Gemara's conclusion, the Gemara did pass in the halacha, but only for those who subscribe to muksa, i.e. Rabbi Yehuda. Ava anan ki Rabbi Shimon svirle, bein b'muksa, bein b'davashen miskaven. But But Rashi says, but let me tell you how we follow. Meaning Rashi over here, this is unusual. Rashi normally on his parish on the Gemara does not issue a psak. Meaning Rashi's primary purpose is to explain the Gemara. And so it is not usual that Rashi offers a psak, but it happens every now and then. And here's one of those examples where it just happened, where Rashi is issuing a psak. He says that we, now again, that's not, when I say we over here, I'm talking about Rashi and the early Ashkenazim. When I'm not talking about me, meaning you and I. But Rashi writes that we follow the position of Rabbi Shimon by Muksa, meaning a really limited scope of Muksa. We also follow like Rabbi Shimon by Davashen and Miskaven. Not really sure why Rashi included that over here. I'm sure there's a reason why, but I'm just not sure why. And Rashi points out, we're going to go for the trifecta in this Rashi. Uche Rabbi Yehuda by Machshir Yochel Nefesh. And Rashi says that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda by Machshir Yochel Nefesh, meaning that you can prepare not just the food, but preparatory stages for the food itself, provided that you couldn't have done so before Yantam. Meaning we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. V'kulu Shari ben Chizra ben Smichas Kederos v'akafetz Chavios u'medurta v'kedera. And so a lot of the things that the Gemara has had problems with, Rashi says, la halacha, we are going to be makel on those items. Because all those Amorayim, Rashi is really making a big statement over here. All those Amorayim, they were subscribing to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But that's not how we follow. We follow like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. V'chol Amorayim. Watch Rashi just say it. V'chol Amorayim sh'asur se'el l'mala tamidi d'rav havu. So you'll notice that everyone that we quoted above on this particular sugya, so they were all students of Rav. Rav himself passing like Rav Yehuda. Good. But we don't passing like Rav Yehuda, we passing like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Now I know, hopefully you're wondering, so how do we passkin? So good. So that's the correct question to ask. But in terms of just saying over the Gemara and saying over Rashi, so Rashi over here writes with clarity that as far as he's concerned, his opinion is that we're makel on 3 points. By Muksa, like Rabbi Shimon, by Davar Sheina Miskaven, like Rabbi Shimon, and by Machshir Yochel Nefesh, like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so really interesting Rashi in today's daf, where he's poskening and three kulas, and he's telling you that a lot of the Gemara over here is not Aliba Dehilchasa. Okay, just if you want to see pushback within the yeshivas of Rashi, you can see Tosus right over here. Tosus has a really difficult time imagining that the Gemara over here issuing a psak is doing so, which is not an accepted halacha. It's really difficult. Okay, second Tosus. First Tosus. Tosus v'hilchasa. We're not going to go through it. But anyway, you can see already within Tosus pushback on this position of Rashi. All right, we continue. We are on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, more than halfway down, Darash Rava. Isha lo tikanes ledir etzim letomehem ud. So a woman cannot go into a deer etzim, some sort of pen where they kept wood, in order to take a spit. Over here, it's not so much a spit; it's more like a poker, right? Something to toss the coals around. V'ush nishbar asula asika b'yamtov. Now let's say your wooden poker breaks, so now how about throwing it into the fire? You can't throw it into the fire because it's muksa; it's shivrei. Shivrei Kalim. Lefisha Masika Mekalim, Mehem Masika Meshivrei Kalim. So Lamehma de Rava Karev Yehuda Sfirle. Now, obviously, leads one to the conclusion that Rava, who just taught us this, so Rava subscribes to Rev Yehuda. Isn't that correct? So the Gemara says, Diasle Muksa. I'm sorry, Karev Yehuda Sfirle, Diasle Muksa. Vahamale Rava Lashame Tavali Bar Ivze Vishade Mele Shunra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm only confused because I know that Rava issued a psak that doesn't seem to be going like Rev Yehuda, notably. So Rava told the Shamish, I want you to roast for me a goose, and the intestines, I don't want the intestines. Okay, the intestines of the goose does not interest me. So what you'll do is you'll take that on Yantav and you'll throw that to the cat. Let the cat enjoy it. I don't want it. Now, the intestines presumably are muksa, and he's saying that you can throw it to the cat, which means that he's holding like Rabbi Shimon. He's not holding like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam came into Misarchim Esmol, Daiti Yelave. So the Gemara says, nope, misunderstood. No, he's going like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds of Muksa. He holds of the broader categories of Muksa. It just happens to be that vis-a-vis the intestines of the goose, knowing full well that they're of no interest to him, and knowing full well that if he just leaves it over for after Yontif, it's only going to spoil. So he already had, going into Yontif, in mind that the intestines are going to be for the cat. In other words, he was making it prior to Yontif. But really, he holds like Rav Yehuda. We're on Lama Gimel Manaf. We're starting with the Mishnah. On the bottom of the Amud, Rebbe Lazar, Omer Nota, Adam, Kisa, Mishalafanov, Lachsos, Boshinov. So, according to the Shita, Rabbi Eliezer, you want to pick up a piece of wood in order to floss your teeth? So, by all means, you're allowed to do so on Yontif. And you're allowed to run around the chatzer collecting wood for the fire. Everything in the chatzer is considered muchan, not muksa. Those are the two psakim of Rabbi Eliezer. So the chachamim argue, says Rashi, on both points. Number one, to use wood for a toothpick. So the chachamim say no. Now, I know the Chachamim don't even talk about it, but as Rashi understands over here, he's arguing on that point. Why? Because, again, it's the theme of today's daf. Wood is only on Yontif used for Hasaka. Wood cannot be used for any other purpose. And so, therefore, you can't use little wood chips in order to as a toothpick. You can't repurpose wood on Yontif. And again, we'll go back to what we said earlier this morning. If before Yontif you were miyached a piece of wood as a toothpick, or what you and I call toothpicks, so that's fine. Meaning, so if you're buying a toothpick as a toothpick, that would be fine. But on Yontif itself, to pick up a piece of wood, which you perfectly could use for firewood, but you cannot repurpose it for anything else. That's the sheet of the Chachamim against the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That's point number one of argument. Point number two of where the Chachamim dispute the Rebbe Eliezer is where to get the wood for the fire. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, you can go anywhere within your chatzer. It's fine. And according to the Chachamim, no. Only that is Mishalafanov. Only that which is in front of you. Now Rashi explains over here, Mishalafanov over here means only that which is in your house. Meaning to go even into your very own chatzer and to randomly collect wood that was not set aside for fire. So the Chachamim say that's not Mukhan. Muksa. Next, ein motzina saor lamina eitzim v'lamina avanim v'lamina afar v'lamina ra'afim v'lamina mayim v'ein malavnin es ra'afim l'tzlos behem. Okay, I should have paused after the word mayim. I am going to pause after the word mayim. You can't start a fire on Yontif. In other words, to start a fire from scratch, you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Now, this is strange, but we'll talk about this in tomorrow's daf. Please come back again tomorrow. On Yontif, you're allowed to make a fire. That's true. On Yontif, you're not allowed to make a fire. I'm not trying to confuse you, okay? And it basically is like this. The Havara is one of the malachas that's permitted on Yontif because you're allowed to cook, and cooking requires a fire. On Yontif, what you could do is that you could transfer fire from one place to another. But to make a fire from scratch is rabbinically prohibited on Yontif. This is what's called molid eish. To create a fire from nothing by rubbing two sticks together or two rocks together, so that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Now, the reason why the Chachamim banned that activity is because it's a lot like molid. It's a lot like nolad, right? It takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, right? Something which is, made anew on Yontif, so nolad, and prohibited. I understand it's not exactly the same thing like we described in the beginning of the Masechta about an egg that which is laid on Yontif, but the idea, conceptually, it's similar. Good, the rabbis banned that. So the Mishnah over here is just giving us various examples of how do you start a fire, which you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Not by rubbing two sticks together and two rocks together, making a fire from dirt. Not really sure what the Mishnah over there is describing. Really interesting. V'lom en amayim, starting a fire with water. So Rashi over here, so creative, so right, the ingenuity of Rashi in terms of how he deciphered the Mishnah. Basically, what you're doing is that you are you have water held in a container, in a glass container, and it basically serves as a magnifying glass. And what it's able to do now is to take the sun and concentrate the ray of sun into a single point, and now you're going to be starting a fire by pointing it against something which is very flammable. Okay, good. So anyway, so these are all things that you can't do on Yontif because, again, molid eish. We'll talk more about it in tomorrow's daf. And then, the last point of the Mishnah, I'll read it, but I'm not going to translate it. I'm going to wait for the Gemara to do so. Aim alavnes ha-ra'afim l'tzlos behem. You can't, I'll translate the words. You can't heat up the tiles in order to roast them, to roast with them on Yontif. Okay, stay tuned. We'll explain that in tomorrow's daf. Amar Rav Yehuda. We are now turning to the Amud Beis. Ochle behema in behem mishum tikkun kli. Okay. Animal fodder and animal food is not subject to tikkun kli. Look at the top Rashi over here. What does that mean? Rashi writes, kagon, kash vale kanim, ein behem mishum tikkun kli. So if we're talking about straw or any kind of, right, any kind of reed, so there is no problem of tikkun kli. Mutter, liktom ulasakin kashel shibam b'shabas, lachtos shinav. So as long as it's animal fodder, so you have hay, which could be given to your animal, and now you want to clip it in order to use it as a toothpick, you could do so. So, and it's not going to be subject to any kind of prohibition of tikkun kli. The Gemara challenges. Eisvei, Rav Kahana, Rav Yehuda, metaltanatze, besamim, lehariach behem, laniach behem, lechola. So, if you have, I'd say, besamim, fragrant roots, so fragrant branches, so you can smell it on Shabbos and Yontif. You can give it to a chola. Molo merichbo. You can even rub it to your fingers in order to draw out even more of the aroma. Velo yiktemenu la'arichbo. However, what you can't do is you can't clip it. V'im katmo patar aval aser. Now, if you clip it, so it's rabbinically prohibited. Lachtos bo shinav. Now, let's say you clip it because you want to make it into a toothpick. So lo yiktemenu v'im katmo chayv chatas. And if you clip this this branch in order to use as a toothpick, you are now subject to an iser de araisa. Okay, now, remember that we started off with a statement to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that anything which could be eaten by an animal is not going to be subject to tikkun kli. And he says that it's mutter. So now, think of a stronger question than the Rav Kahana just asked. Because Rav Kahana just pointed to a branch where if I clip it on Shabbos or on Yontif, so it would be an Isser Daraisa, and Rav Yehuda's psak was that it's mutter. And Rav Yehuda was so impressed with how good a question it was. And now we're listening to Rav Yehuda being impressed with the question. Meaning, if you would have cited a braisa that said that it's rabbinically forbidden, that already would have been a question. You went one step further. You quoted a braisa that says that's an Isser min Torah. It's a really good question. Although, as much as I'm impressed with the question, I got answers. So Ella Kitanya Ibakashan Kashan Bene Malila Ninu. I'm sorry. Let's do that better. So Kitanya Ibakashan. So he says that Bryce, you just quoted me about branches. So that those branches were not animal fodder. Those branches were hard twigs. And clipping that is an Isser Daraisa. That's tikkun mana. I'm talking about straw that's really soft. And so therefore that's not tikkun mana. So Kasha Mene Melila Ninu, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's really hard to fit into the Braisa. Because we're talking about things that you're rubbing between your fingers. You're rubbing a hard branch between your fingers. So the Gemara says, Chesir Mechser V'Hachi Ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's happening over here is that we're missing part of the story. Molo Merichbo, Kot Merichbo. So you're allowed to rub it, you're allowed to clip it and smell it. But that's only when it's soft. Because when it's soft, so rubbing it and even clipping it is not tikkun mana. In other words, it's soft already. You're not really turning it into any kind of instrument. Ava b'kashim, but if it's hard, lo itamenu v'im katmo pata avalaser. So, but if it's hard and you're clipping it just to get the smell out, the aroma out, so that's aser midrabanan. Lachzos boshino lo itamenu v'im katmo chayv chatas. And if you're clipping it in order to fashion into a toothpick, a hard branch that you're making into a toothpick, so welcome to an Isser da'araisa. That's tikkun mana. So Tanicha, and the Gemara now is just going to, now that we gave this answer and this explanation, so the Gemara says, good, now it's going to help us with the following two braisas. So one braisa says, katmo meriach bo'om. The one braisa says that you can clip it in order to smell. And v'tani yidach lo yiktem en ala reich bo'om. The other braisa says you can't clip it to smell. So I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rav Chista, lo kasha habirach and habikashin. Okay, but now we know the answer. That if it's a soft twig and clipping it is not going to make it into a kli, so that would be mutter. If it's a hard twig, now even though I'm not clipping it to make it into a kli, I'm only clipping it to get the aroma out, but still, a hard twig is also midrabanan to clip. So the Gemara says, okay, can you make a distinction between what we just learned and the following Mishnah. Shavar Adam as a chavas echal mimene gargures. One is allowed to break a barrel in order to get to the figs inside the barrel. Over vashalis kavan lasos kli, provided that your intention is not to make a kli. Va'od ha-rava bar-ada v'ravim bar-rava-ada damritavayu ki avin abe Rav Yehuda. We were in the house of Rav Yehuda. And have a mefashech v'yavlan alusa, alusa. What he would do is that he would take these pieces of wood and af agav dechazia likitata denargi v'chatzina. And they were hard. And meanwhile, and they could have been used for handles. And meanwhile, he'd allowed us to take it and to clip it. So the Gemara says, so how? Meaning, you told me that when it comes to hard twigs, you're not allowed to clip it. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but at the same time, it's a machlokas tanaim. Daniel, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar, menot aldim kisa mashlofan of lachsos boshinav. V'chachamim omim lo yito ela me'avusha behema. So machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Really similar to what we saw in the Mishnah on the Amud Aleph. It happens to be that the Brisa over here speaks it out a little bit clearer. So that's why the Gemara quoted the Brisa as opposed to quoting our Mishnah. Right? Remember, right? Just earlier this morning, we read the Mishnah. The Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar on the toothpick, but it wasn't super clear in the Mishnah. Right? I quoted the Rashi back in the Mishnah. I read it into the Mishnah. Rashi read into the Mishnah. But here in the Brisa, it's really clear. That Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim argue about clipping a twig in order to make a toothpick. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's okay. According to the Chachamim, it is prohibited. V'shamish like the men of him cut malachsos boshin of liftach bosadalad b'shogi b'shabbes chayiv chatos b'meizah b'yamta sofek es arba'im diver Rabbi Elazar. So the now, if you do so on Shabbos, it would be nisa daraisa. V'chachamim amar mechazeh v'chazeh no ela misham shvos. And according to the Chachamim, it's nisa derabanan. So, the Rabbi Elazar de Kamar Hasam Chayiv Chatos Hacha Pater Val Aser Rabbanan de Kamar Hasam Pater Val Aser Hacha Motel Lechatchila. So, in other words, basically, what we're going to do is that we're going to drop down. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar, it would be Nisr Daraisa done on Shabbos. On Yontif, it'd be Nisr Darabanan. According to the Chachamim, on Shabbos, it's Nisr Darabanan. On Yontif, Motel Gamre. So,
the Mishnah of the Bar is quoting is very concerned with opinion, but Steerus.
Yes, agreed. Okay, yeah, you're right, I hear. Okay, so the, fine. So what comes out now is that according to Rabbi Elazar, one would be allowed to do so. One would be allowed to clip, but the Gemara says, in our defense, meaning we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar, we pass like the Chachamim, and therefore we're going to be Machmir. Just finishing up, so the Gemara says, okay, but what about the Mishnah? Meaning we did quote the Mishnah that says that you're allowed to break open a barrel, provided that you don't make a kli. So Amar Ravashi, Kitanya hi b'mustake. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rabbi Elazar knows about that brisa, and he'll give an ukimta. That brisa is talking about where it already is not well made. It is a really poorly designed, it's a kli that pretty much stands to be broken, and so therefore the fact that you break it is not so much an act of stira. It's not so much that you are destroying something. So under those circumstances, even Rabbi Elazar would say that would be fine. Rashi writes over here: Chavishvura shemedafkin shivra besraf shel eitz shekaren shaf. So basically, it's a couple of pieces of wood that are held together by some glue. She'osim emen zefes v'karnos orishna v'recho dama l'rech levona. Rashi over here very specific in describing it. Uvelashan arav v'karnos mustaking, and the word that the Gemara uses over here is an Arabic word. Umedavkin bokaros cheres hanishbarin. Anyway, kach amarli Rabbi Shmuel hamechuna chasid min berishta. And he quotes. And he quotes somebody who was described as a chassid. V'kevan, it's the next part of Rashi that I want to focus. V'kevan de re'uahi, since it's so inferior, like l'migzer ba, shalo yizkavan lasos kli. So there's no concern that maybe what you're going to do is that you're interested in making a kli because it's so poorly put together. Okay. This Gemara over here, right, this is a really opening for a really long discussion, and I'm just going to reference. This Gemara over here is really the beginning of a discussion of what packages can be opened on Yontif and what packages cannot be opened on Yontif. Our Gemara just taught us that if something is really poorly designed, poorly constructed, and all you're doing now is just ripping it open, tearing it open, so then that would be fine. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, granted, by the way, the Gemara is saying this within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, there's a lot really to unravel over here in terms of getting to practical halacha of that which you can and cannot open on Shabbos. Okay, that's all I'm going to mention. It's a much longer discussion. But at least what comes out over here is that we have now resolved that, yes, it's true. The certain things can be opened and certain things can be deconstructed, but that doesn't mean that you could do that all the time. And going back to the psak that was offered by Reb Yehuda, that you're allowed to clip a twig on Yontif that's only soft, not hard, because once it's hard, so then clipping it would be an Issa D'Oraisa, maybe only an Issa D'Rabbanan, depending on why you're clipping it. But going back, and it gives us a defense for the Shita of Reb Yehuda. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here. A quick recap. In the beginning of Shir today, we spoke at length regarding the various machshirei ochel nefesh that one is not allowed to do on Yontif. The Mishnah Lamed Beis treated us to an assortment of not food preparations, but machshirei ochel nefesh. Right, the wooden plank that you're going to put the fish on, the sweeping of the oven, using firewood in order to level off a pot, a lot of various halachas that are not for the food, but for the instruments that are going to be used to cook the food. So in all those circumstances that we said, the Mishnah says you cannot do it, presumably because the Mishnah does not paskan like Reb Yehuda, that machshirei ochel nefesh would be mutter. And then the Gemara started off with an assortment of psakim regarding sweeping the oven. A number of Amoraim allowed for the sweeping of oven, and Rashi points out, because they in fact do paskan like Reb Yehuda. Rashi in today's daf says that we, meaning not you and I, but we do paskan like Reb Yehuda. That was Rashi's psak that he offered in today's daf as well. Building a binyan arai. So is it okay? The answer is no. However, if you're building a binyan arai and you reverse engineer and you start from the top and you work your way down, so the Gemara says under certain circumstances, you're allowed to do that on Yontif and presumably on Shabbos as well. Repurposing wood for anything other than firewood. So the Gemara, it's a big theme of today's daf. It's really what we covered a lot on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Can't do it. Cannot repurpose wood for anything other than firewood on Yontif. Again, going into Yontif, before Yontif, if you're miyached, in other words, if you hold up the toothpick and say, I'm going to use this as a toothpick, so that's fine. That you could do. But in other words, but if all you have is just wood set aside for firewood, it can only be used for firewood and cannot be repurposed for other things. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Again, just referencing Rashi one more time for today. Rashi on the Amud Aleph today says that that's all according to the Shita of Reb Yehuda, but we don't pass like Reb Yehuda, we pass like Rabbi Shimon by Muksa. So therefore, it's for us, that's not the accepted halacha. That's a really interesting comment by Rashi. Tosfos pushes back on that Rashi. Anyway, I showed you the Rashi today. And parenthetically, that same Rashi says that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon vis-a-vis Davi Shein Miskavin, and we paskin like Rabbi Huda by Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. A lot of interesting Rashis in today's daf. And then second half of today's daf. So a machlokus in terms of taking, where can I take the wood from in order to use for my firewood? Rabbi Elazar says you can go anywhere in the Chatzar, and the Chachamim say no. It already had to have been collected before Yontif. It had to have been in the house. Starting a fire is aser, but we're going to talk more about that in tomorrow's daf. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we really dealt with the psak offered by Reb Yehuda, that anything that could be used as animal fodder, like soft straw, so there's no problem of tikkun kli. Meaning you can clip it, roll it, cut it, you do whatever you want with it. There's no such thing as fashing into a kli. It's soft. If it's a hard twig and you clip it, so it's aser. Sometimes aser midrabbanan, sometimes aser minatora.